Please pray with me. Almighty and ever-living God, the source and perfection of all virtues, please grant that I may employ myself in what is just and preach what is true, so that in my preaching and in my ministry I may provide for your faithful people the teaching that brings them grace. Amen. Amen. Today we end the last Sunday of the church year with a thief hanging on a cross next to Jesus saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This portion of Jesus' life is usually associated with Good Friday. Therefore, it seems to be out of place on this day, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, Christ the King Sunday. Wouldn't readings of celebration and thanksgiving for all the blessings we have received throughout the year be more appropriate than those about his brutal murder at the place of the skull? In Luke's unique version of the crucifixion, Jesus was identified as a king by two very opposite people. The first person was Pontius Pilate, the fifth prefect of the Roman province of Judea, who by crucifying Jesus sent this very clear message. Rome will not tolerate any king from this world or God's kingdom. And by doing so, he acknowledged Jesus as a king. Likewise, the thief hanging next to Jesus recognized him as Messiah, Lord, and King when he said, "Do you not fear God? We have been condemned justly and are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." It's wise for us to remember Jesus was crucified and died at the place of the skull, Golgotha, because it reminds us that we have sinned. We will not escape death on this earth, and Jesus defeated death so we can be forgiven and have eternal life. Many traditions inform us that the place of the skull received its name because the site was a hill or near a rock that was shaped like a skull. The 3rd century scholar Origen wrote, "I have received a tradition to the effect that the body of Adam, the first man, was buried upon the spot where Christ was crucified." Another tradition is that David buried Goliath's severed head there. And the 4th and the final one that I came across is that since the site was a public place of execution, the skulls and the bones of the crucified people literally littered the ground. Many years ago, while browsing in an antique shop in St. Augustine, I discovered and purchased an antique crucifix, one which I'm wearing today, with a skull and crossbones beneath Jesus' feet. Until that moment, I'd never seen a skull and crossbones on a crucifix. The skull and crossbones on the crucifix represents the first Adam, from where we all inherited our fallen human natures and which subjects us to death. But with Jesus' body above the skull, it makes the statement that Jesus Christ, the second Adam, through his death and resurrection, makes us inheritors of a renewed kingdom, that Jesus heals our human nature and grants us eternal life, which is something to be thankful for because whether we like it or not, our sins, our deeds condemn us, and yet when we repent, Jesus in his mercy forgives us. Many times when confronted with our sins through Scripture and our need for forgiveness, we typically tend to say or think to ourselves, "I'm not like the thief on the cross. I am not like that thief on the cross." Maybe so, but do we ever consider that part of ourselves could be a thief? The reflection for today's lessons from Preparing for Sunday, which is available on our website, put our thievery in this way, and it caused me to think for quite a while about what they wrote. And this is what they wrote. We may not have a criminal record, but we have often robbed other people of their time or tolerance, of the courtesy and attention they deserve from us, and our commitment to their well-being. We may not have a criminal record, but we have often robbed other people of their time or tolerance, of the courtesy and attention they deserve from us, and our commitment to their well-being. When we look at our behaviors in that way, you and I really have stolen from people things that can never be replaced. They can only be forgiven. Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, died and rose again for us, for you, for me, to be forgiven of our sins and raised with Christ into a new life and a new body, which is why Jesus could say to the repentant thief, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." By welcoming and embracing Christ as our King, we are given new life in the present. We are filled with the Holy Spirit to carry out His redemptive work in the world. And we promise through our baptismal covenant to persevere in resisting evil. And whenever we sin, to repent and return to the Lord. Our life with Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit should cause us to live lives of faithful service where the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are noticeably present in our lives. And Jesus tells us to use those gifts of the Spirit for the welfare of His kingdom and all people when He said in Matthew, "When Christ comes in His glory with all the angels and sits on the throne of His glory, He will separate people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.'" Jesus Christ, our King, served by example, even as He hung on the cross, by forgiving the repentant thief and promising him eternal life. This day, this week, every day, all of us have many things to be thankful for. Therefore, it's good for us to ask ourselves, how can we serve Christ our King in our lives with our time, our talent, and our treasure? How can we serve Christ our King with our gifts, with our time, our talent, and our treasure? Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Father, we give you thanks for the fruits of the earth in their season and for the labors of those who harvest them. Make us, we pray, faithful stewards of your great bounty for the provision of our necessities and the relief of all who are in need. To the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
We'll now have a moment of silence for reflection.